This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, our deen Islam is based on one thing only, and that is trust in the truthfulness of our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We believe that the ayat of the Quran are the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. That is why we treat the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with so much reverence, because they were also said by the same person, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who recited for us the word of Allah. It is a measure of the measure and proof of his truthfulness that he never claimed his speech to be the word of Allah, Kalamullah. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the speech of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُوِي يُوحَىٰ. Allah said, nor does he speak of his own volition, it is only a revelation sent to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, believers, to obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unquestioningly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hashr, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, whatever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he forbids you from, leave it, and fear Allah. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not restrict obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to worship alone or to anything else alone. He gave a blanket command and ordered us to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every matter, and warned us of his punishment if we did not obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without question. Let us remember that Islam means submission, and it is only obedience which makes us Muslims. Finally, for the purpose of our discussion here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared on oath by himself that we can't have faith, that we have no faith until we accept the rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all matters wholeheartedly without any resistance to them in our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Fala wa rabbika. لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم وأنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but know by your Rabb, that is Allah is saying by himself, but know by your Rabb, they will never be believers until they accept you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the judge in their disputes, and find no resistance within themselves against your decision, and submit wholeheartedly. Based on this, I want to draw your attention to one very simple fact, which is that in normal circumstances, it is actions and or speech which determine that a sin has been committed. If you think about a sin, if you feel that desire in your heart, but you do not put that desire into words or take action on that desire, then you are not punishable for the desire. Except in this case. Except where we have not spoken against Rasulullah, we have not acted against him, but in the heart there is resistance to his command. There is a desire to disobey him. There is a dislike for what he has said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if that is the case, even if it is in your heart, if that is the case, then you have no faith. Right? You are not a Muslim. You have no faith. Based on this, our scholars from the Sahaba onwards have always taken the position that anyone who denies a single hadith, a sahih hadith, or refuses to accept a single ruling of Rasulullah has committed kufr and has left Islam. Now, that is the light in which we must see the following hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An Abdullah ibn Umar qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does not desire my sunnah is not a part of me. And this is in Sunan Ibn Abi Asim, and it's a Sahih Hadith. For those who love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and emulate him, make his ittiba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah said, say, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people, if you sincerely love Allah, then follow me, then emulate me. Then what will happen? Allah will love you and forgive your sins. For Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are always in ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this deen of ours, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah said, today I have perfected your faith for you, completed my favor upon you, and chosen Islam as your way. Now, about when this ayah was revealed, we have the narration where a Jew said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, there is an ayah in your book, there is an ayah in the Quran which is read by all of you Muslims, and had it been revealed to us, that is Jews, we would have taken that day on which it was revealed as a day of Eid, day of celebration. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he asked him, which ayah is that? The man replied, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. This day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu replied, no doubt we know when and where this ayah was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the day he was standing at Arafah, and that day was a Friday. So it is, there are both are Eids, so we have two Eids. This is evidence that the ayah declaring that Islam is complete was revealed on Yawm al-Arafah, which is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. Therefore, it is a part of our creed to believe Islam to be complete and to believe that Rasulullah ﷺ completed his responsibility of conveying the message of Islam by word and deed, by teaching it and demonstrating it in his own blessed life. We believe that he did not leave anything out, and so there is no scope for anyone to add anything or change anything in Islam. Rasulullah ﷺ shut the door to all innovations in Islam and declared that all innovation is misguidance and will be in the hellfire. We hear this hadith in almost every Jummah in every masjid. An Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma qala, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في خطبته يحمد الله ويثني عليه بما هو أهله ثم يقول من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Jabir bin Abdullah رضي الله عنهما reported that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى in his speech, in his sermon, in his khutbah as he deserves to be praised, and then he would say, whomever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. Whomever Allah allows to go astray, No one can guide him. The truest word is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most evil of matters in religion are those that are newly invented, for every newly invented matter is an innovation. Every innovation is misguidance, and every misguidance is in the hellfire. And this is in Sunan Nasa'i, and it's a Sahih Hadith. On the importance of sighting the moon, we have many ahadith, one of which let me narrate for you that hadith. One of them is that Quraib radiallahu anhu reported, I came to Syria and tended to my needs. The crescent of Ramadan appeared over me while I was in Syria, and I saw it on Friday. Then I came to Medina at the end of the month. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma asked me about it, and I mentioned the crescent. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, when did you see it? I said, we saw it on Friday night. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, you saw it? I said, yes. People saw it and they fasted, as did Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, but we saw it on Saturday. We saw it on Saturday night. So we will continue fasting until we complete 30 days, or we see it, meaning if we see it on the night of the 29th. I said, that is Quraib radiallahu anhu. He said, I said, is it not enough that Muawiyah saw it and he fasted? Ibn Abbas said, no, such was the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such was the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, the people of knowledge act upon this hadith that the people of every land have their own moon sighting. Right? It's not that one moon sighting for the whole world. This was not how the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi ajmain saw it. This was not how the people of knowledge, even after them, how they saw it. Now, the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma is based on the command of Rasulullah, who commanded us to see the new moon and start the new month. And if the sky was cloudy and we couldn't see the new moon, then to complete 30 days of the current month. We believe in Islam and we believe Rasulullah and obey him unquestioningly as a mark of being Muslim. And Abi Hurairata radiallahu anhu, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi fa'in ghummiya alaykum fa'akmilu adada. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, start fasting on sighting it, that is the new moon, and break your fast on sighting it, that is the new moon of Shawwal. But if the sky is cloudy for you, then complete the month number of 30. That is 30 fasts of Ramadan. And this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim, and it's a Sahih hadith. We also know and understand this to be a fundamental principle in Islam, in the Sharia, that Rasulullah used to answer questions as asked. But his answer applies to everything in that context. The evidence for this is the famous Hadith Jibreel, which is one of the most important, it's considered to be one third of the deen in Islam, narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and others, where Rasulullah defined al-ihsan, excellence, in terms of salah. But we know that the definition is not restricted to salah, but extends to every transaction in life. We must live our lives as if we can see Allah and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us in real time and sees and hears and knows everything we say or do. Kala, this hadith, I'm taking an extract from it. So this man said, Kala, and that man was Jibreel alayhi salam in a human form. He said, Kala, Ya Rasulullah, Ma al-Ihsan, Ma al-Ihsan. Kala, yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Ihsanu an ta'wudha allaha ka'annaka tarah, fa'in lam takun tarah, fa'innahu yarak. The man asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is Ihsan? Excellence. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Him. And if you do not achieve that, if you do not achieve that level of devotion, if you cannot see Him, know that Allah sees you. So though Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned the sighting of the moon with respect to starting and stopping of fasting, all our scholars have agreed and stated that the principle of sighting the moon to calculate the beginning and end of the month applies to every month and not to Ramadan alone. Therefore, when Rasulullah ﷺ stood in Arafah and he asked the people, rhetorically speaking, what day it was, and then he replied, because they said, Allah and His Nabi know best, he replied and said the date was 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. So how did he arrive at that? He counted from the day he sighted the new moon of Dhul-Hijjah. He did not use astronomical calculations or calendars to determine the date of the month. If he had wanted to, he could have, because lunar calendars have been in existence for at least 3,000 years. The fact that he neither used them nor commanded or permitted people to use astronomical calculations to determine the beginning of the month shows us that this is a spiritual matter and not a matter of scientific calculations or convenience. The fact that he made a specific declaration about moon sighting to begin the month binds us to his command and does not give us the freedom to use different methods to calculate as we do with respect to the time of daily prayers. In case of the daily five salawat, we don't measure shadows, we use clocks. But with respect to sighting the moon to begin the month, that is a specific command and so must be followed and not changed or ignored. Finally, Rasulullah ﷺ did not command us to synchronize our date with Makkah or Medina. And so those who insist on following Saudi Arabia must provide proof for their insistence. In Islam, every matter must have a dalil, evidence. And the only dalail, pieces of evidence that are acceptable in matters of worship are ayat of the Quran and or hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahih hadith. If we don't do that, if we cannot have that, if you can't have that kind of evidence, then to do something based on whatever logic appears reasonable to us in matters of worship is a bid'ah, an innovation, and we know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about that. In the light of all the above evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, I submit that the best, even only permissible, way to calculate the beginning of the month and its end is by sighting the moon. Sighting by a reliable, practicing Muslim who is on the Sunnah is acceptable for a region. The exact extent of the region is left to local leaders and scholars to determine. There's no evidence, absolutely no evidence to show that using astronomical calculations to calculate the beginning of the month for religious purposes is a sunnah or was permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger. That is, there is no ayah or hadith permitting this. Finally, there is a specific hadith and more than one commanding us to sight the moon and start or end the month. To ignore that command and use calculation because that is more convenient would be to reject the Sahih hadith, and that is kufr. Let us remember that when Rasulullah ﷺ commanded us to do something, this was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to do that. In this is benefit for us, even if we may not see it sometimes. That is Islam. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.